All right, so today we're diving into acquisitions.
Yeah.
And specifically, how small to mid-sized businesses can use them for growth. I mean, who wouldn't want to skip a few steps on the road to success, right?
Absolutely.
Imagine just like leapfrogging the competition instead of battling it out inch by inch.
Yeah.
We've got some really, really interesting stuff here that might just shift your perspective on scaling up.
What's interesting is that acquisitions offer a different kind of runway for growth.
Oh, okay. How so?
Instead of painstakingly building every element of a successful business, you're strategically acquiring a company that's already humming along.
Oh, so you're acquiring the success that someone else has already built.
Yeah. In a way, it's like plugging into an existing power source instead of having to build your own generator.
I like that analogy.
Yeah. And especially for a small or mid-sized business in a dynamic market like California, this can be brilliant.
Oh, yeah. I see what you mean.
Think about it. Instant access to a customer base, revenue streams, and operational systems that are already in place.
Wow. So you're not starting from scratch.
Exactly. And that's a huge advantage.
It'd be a huge accelerator, especially in those booming sectors like tech or sustainable energy.
For sure, for sure.
But buying a whole business sounds kind of intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
What if it's not as successful as it seems? Or you can't make it work with your existing setup?
Yeah, those are smart questions, and that's precisely why a clear roadmap is essential.
Oh, okay, so it's not just about saying like, hey, let's buy that
company. Oh, no, it has to be strategic.
So where do you even begin?
Well, it all starts with being crystal clear about your objectives.
So you have to define your why before you even start looking around.
Exactly.
But it's got to be more than just, I want to get bigger, right?
Absolutely. You need to get granular.
Okay.
Are you trying to break into a new region?
Okay.
Add a killer product or service to your lineup?
Mm.
Or maybe consolidate your position in a specific niche?
Right.
Each goal demands a different kind of acquisition.
Okay. So you've got your why nailed down.
Right.
What's next on the acquisition checklist?
Next, you need to do a deep dive into your own financial situation.
Okay.
Remember, this is a major investment. We're not talking about picking up a new coffee machine here.
Right. It's a whole other level of commitment.
Yeah. So how do you know if you're actually in a position to buy another company?
Yeah. That's a good question.
Well, it's more than just having the cash for the purchase price.
Okay.
You have to factor in due diligence costs, legal fees, integration expenses. It all adds up.
Yeah, it sounds like it could get really expensive really quickly.
It can, yeah. And you need to figure out how you're going to finance the deal in the first place.
Okay, so you're really assessing your financial capacity, not just your current bank balance.
Exactly.
This is sounding pretty complex.
It can be, but with the right guidance, it doesn't have to be overwhelming.
Okay, so that's reassuring.
Yeah, once you have a solid grasp of your objectives and your financial situation, then comes the exciting part.
What's that?
It's time to start hunting for the perfect target.
Ooh. This is where my inner detective comes out. How do you even find businesses that are for sale? Is there some sort of secret business exchange happening somewhere?
Well, there are actually online platforms that can help.
Okay.
BizBuySell and LoopNet are good starting points.
I've heard of those.
Especially for finding businesses in specific locations or industries.
Mm-hmm.
But don't underestimate the power of good old-fashioned networking.
Oh, so it's not all algorithms and databases.
No, not at all.
Sometimes it's about who you know.
Precisely, your network is a gold mine.
Yeah, that's true.
Talk to people in your industry, reach out to mentors.
Okay.
Even consider working with a business broker who specializes in connecting buyers and sellers.
Oh, interesting.
They often have access to deals that aren't publicly listed.
Oh, that's a good tip.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So finding the right target is a mix of online research, real-world connections, and a little bit of detective work.
Exactly.
But let's say you found a promising lead. What happens next?
Next comes the crucial step that can make or break the entire deal, due diligence.
Due diligence, what's that? Is that like a business version of a background check?
It's more than a background check. It's like putting on your detective hat and really digging deep.
Okay.
You're reviewing financial records, scrutinizing contracts, evaluating assets.
Wow.
Even examining the company's legal standing.
So you're making sure there are no skeletons hiding in the closet before you sign on the dotted line.
Precisely.
And imagine in a state like California, with all its regulations, thorough due diligence is non-negotiable.
Oh, absolutely. You don't want to inherit any legal nightmares.
Exactly.
That's why having experienced advisors by your side during this phase is absolutely critical.
Okay.
They'll help you navigate the legal and financial complexities and make sure you're protected.
So you're saying don't try to do this alone?
Definitely not.
Okay. So let's say you found a great company, your finances are solid, and due diligence has given you the green light.
Mm-hmm.
What's the next step? Do you just like merge everything together and hope for the best?
Well, not quite. Now it's time to structure the deal and negotiate the terms.
Okay.
This is where your financial and legal expertise come into play.
All right.
You'll be determining the purchase price, outlining payment methods.
Okay.
And working out all the specifics of the agreement.
Sounds a lot like buying a house, but with way higher stakes.
It is very similar. Yeah. And there's definitely a ton of paperwork involved.
I bet.
One of the key decisions you'll make is whether to go for an asset purchase or a stock purchase.
Hmm. I have to admit, those terms sound a bit intimidating.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Can you break them down for us?
Sure. An asset purchase means you're buying specific assets of the business, things like equipment inventory or intellectual property.
Right.
It's a way to pick and choose what you want and potentially limit your liability because you're not taking on all of the company's past obligations.
Oh, so it's like ordering a la carte instead of going for the prefix menu.
Exactly.
Okay, I like that.
A stock purchase, on the other hand, means you're acquiring the entire company.
The whole thing.
Assets, liabilities, the whole shebang. It can be a more straightforward approach.
Okay.
But you're also taking on all of the company's history, both good and bad.
Oh, so it's a bigger risk.
It can be. Yeah.
Wow. So choosing the right structure is crucial.
Absolutely.
This is making me realize just how much expertise is needed throughout this entire process.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something you just jump into without us. Solid plan and the right guidance.
You're absolutely right. And it's not over once the papers are signed.
Oh, so what happens then?
Integrating the acquired business into your existing operations is where the real work begins.
Oh, right. I hadn't even thought about that.
Yeah, merging two different companies, especially if they have different cultures or ways of doing things, can be a bit like trying to fit puzzle pieces that don't quite match.
That's a great analogy.
Post-acquisition integration is all about making those pieces fit.
Okay.
You need to think about aligning company cultures,
mm-hmm.
communicating clearly with all stakeholders,
right,
and most importantly, retaining key talent from both sides.
Oh, especially in a competitive job market like California, keeping those top performers happy would be a top priority.
Absolutely. Investing in clear communication team building and a well-thought-out integration plan is crucial for creating a cohesive and successful new entity.
This is giving me a whole new appreciation for the complexity of acquisitions.
Yeah.
It's not just about buying a business. It's about integrating it in a way that creates value for everyone involved.
Exactly. And that's why it's crucial to view acquisitions as part of a bigger strategy for achieving your overall business objectives.
All right. So we've covered a lot of ground, from defining your why to navigating due diligence,
mm-hmm.
deal structuring, and even the delicate process of post-acquisition integration.
Right.
But I'm curious, what are some of the different ways to actually expand a company's reach through acquisitions?
Mm-hmm.
Is it just about buying up competitors, or are there other strategies involved?
There's a whole spectrum of strategic options available, and it really depends on your specific goals and the dynamics of your market. Think of it like expanding your territory from a central point, a triangle.
Okay.
You can go up, down, or even branch out in different directions.
Intriguing. I'm ready to explore those different directions.
Okay.
How about we start with going up? What does that look like in the world of acquisitions?
Going up means targeting a higher value segment within your existing market.
Okay.
Imagine you're a business serving individual hair salons.
Okay.
Going up might involve acquiring a company that caters to those multi-location chains or big national franchises.
Okay.
You're essentially moving up the value chain.
So you're aiming for bigger clients with bigger budgets.
Exactly.
What are the advantages of this approach?
Well, the potential upside is significant.
How so?
You're typically dealing with larger contracts, which means higher revenue per client.
Okay.
Plus, these larger clients tend to be more established and less likely to go out of business, so your churn rate could decrease.
Oh, so bigger clients,
yeah,
bigger contracts, and fewer headaches from constant churn. But I'm guessing there are challenges too, right? It can't all be smooth sailing.
Of course, not selling to larger, more sophisticated companies often involves longer sales cycles.
Okay.
You're dealing with more decision makers, more complex procurement processes, and you can bet the competition is fierce.
So it's not a quick win, but the potential rewards could be significant.
Right.
What about going down? Is that the opposite of going up?
You could say that going down involves targeting a larger volume of smaller customers.
Okay.
Let's say you're in the fitness industry, currently selling to gym owners.
All right.
Going down might involve acquiring a company that provides training services to individual trainers or coaches.
So instead of focusing on a few big clients, you're broadening your reach to include a larger pool of smaller ones.
Exactly.
What are the pros and cons of this strategy?
The main advantage is that you tap into a much larger market.
Okay.
Think about it. There are far more individual trainers than there are gym owners.
That's true.
It's a constant influx of potential new customers.
I can see how that could lead to rapid growth.
Yeah.
But I imagine managing a huge volume of smaller clients presents its own set of challenges.
Absolutely. This market segment often has higher churn rates.
Okay.
Smaller clients might be more susceptible to economic fluctuations or simply have a shorter lifespan as businesses.
Right.
You might also encounter more payment issues and need a really strong marketing and sales operation to reach such a broad audience.
It's a high volume, high touch strategy.
Yeah.
You need to be prepared to manage a lot of moving parts.
Exactly. You need to be incredibly efficient and have streamlined processes to manage a larger volume of smaller transactions.
Okay.
It might even mean adjusting your product or service to cater to this market.
It sounds like going down is all about finding the right balance between volume and efficiency.
Yeah.
You need to be able to reach a large audience, convert them into customers, and keep them coming back.
Precisely.
Okay.
Now let's change direction again and explore going adjacent.
Okay. Going adjacent.
This involves targeting a related market that shares similarities with your current one. Let's say you're a chiropractor.
Mm-hmm.
Going adjacent might involve acquiring a physical therapy practice.
So you're not venturing into completely uncharted territory.
Right.
You're leveraging your existing expertise and expanding into a neighboring market that serves a similar type of customer.
Exactly.
What are the benefits of this approach?
The beauty of going adjacent is that you can often provide the same level of value to a new market without starting from scratch.
Oh.
You're building on your existing knowledge systems and potentially even your brand reputation.
It's like adding a new wing to your house instead of building a whole new structure.
Exactly.
But I'm guessing there are still some hurdles to overcome.
Of course, you'll need to learn the specific nuances of this adjacent market.
Okay.
You might need to adapt your offerings or your marketing messages to resonate with a slightly different customer profile.
So it's not just a copy and paste operation.
Right.
It requires a willingness to learn and adapt to the specifics of this new space.
Exactly. And while going adjacent can be a great way to expand, it might be a slower growth path compared to some of the other strategies we've discussed.
Okay. So it's a more measured approach, but one that leverages your strengths and allows for a more gradual expansion.
Yeah.
What about going broader? Does that mean casting a wider net?
Yes. It's about expanding to encompass a wider range of customers within a larger industry.
Okay.
If you're currently specialized in serving hair salons, going broader might involve targeting the entire beauty industry, hair, nails, skincare, the whole works.
So it's about becoming a one-stop shop for a broader range of needs within that industry.
Exactly.
That sounds like it could lead to really rapid growth.
Absolutely. The potential for scaling up quickly is immense. But as with any strategy, there are trade-offs.
Oh, okay. Like what?
You might have to generalize your offerings to appeal to a broader audience.
Okay.
And you'll face increased competition from established players in those new markets.
So you need to be ready to adapt your approach, become more versatile in your offerings, and be prepared to compete on a larger stage.
Exactly. And there's always the risk of spreading yourself too thin.
Right.
Trying to be everything to everyone can dilute your brand and make it harder to really excel in any one area.
It sounds like going broader is a high-risk, high-reward strategy.
Yeah.
It requires careful planning, a deep understanding of the broader market, and the resources to compete effectively.
You got it.
Okay, so we've talked about going up, going down, going adjacent, going broader. Mm-hmm. What's the last direction?
Now, for our final expansion strategy, we're going to do something that might seem counterintuitive at first.
Okay.
Going narrower.
Wait, didn't we already cover niching down?
This is different.
Okay.
It's about becoming even more specific in your targeting, focusing on a smaller subset of your existing customer base that represents your most profitable clients.
So instead of trying to appeal to everyone, you're becoming laser focused on the customers who bring in the most revenue.
Precisely. Let's say you're currently targeting all small business owners.
Yeah.
Going narrower might mean focusing only on businesses with a specific revenue range and employee count, the ones who truly value your expertise and are willing to pay for it.
So you're becoming the go-to expert for a select group of high-value clients.
Exactly.
What are the benefits of this approach?
There are several. You gain increased pricing power because you're providing highly specialized solutions to a niche market that's willing to pay a premium.
Okay.
Your profit margins tend to be higher,
mm-hmm.
and your customer acquisition costs often decrease because you're targeting a very specific audience.
So you're not wasting time and money trying to reach people who aren't a good fit.
Exactly.
But I imagine the trade-off is a smaller pool of potential customers.
That's the main drawback. You're deliberately limiting your market size, so there's a ceiling on your growth potential.
Okay.
But for businesses focused on maximizing profit and building a reputation for excellence in a specific niche, going narrower can be incredibly effective.
This has been a fascinating look at the different ways businesses can expand their reach through acquisitions. Mm-hmm. We've covered everything from the initial why to the ins and outs of due diligence, mm-hmm. deal structuring, and even the all-important post-acquisition integration.
For sure.
And then we explored these five distinct expansion strategies.
Right.
Up, down, adjacent, broader, and narrower, each with its own set of opportunities and challenges.
Yeah, it's a lot to consider.
It is.
And it's not about choosing the best one in some abstract sense. It's yeah. about selecting the approach that best fits your unique circumstances and ambitions.
It all comes down to expert guidance can be invaluable.
Oh, yeah.
A seasoned advisor can help you navigate the complexities, make informed decisions, and avoid costly mistakes.
For sure.
So if you're feeling inspired by the possibilities of strategic growth, but you're not sure where to begin, what would you recommend?
I'd recommend reaching out to a company that specializes in helping businesses navigate these decisions and achieve their full potential.
Okay, a company like Market Value Creation.
Exactly. They've helped countless businesses in California achieve significant growth through a variety of strategies.
Oh, wow.
Including acquisitions, partnerships, and organic expansion.
And what sets them apart from other consulting firms?
Their commitment to individualized support is what's truly remarkable. They don't just provide generic advice. They take the time to understand your specific business, your goals, and your challenges.
Okay.
Then they work with you to develop a customized plan for success.
So it's not just about applying a one-size-fits-all approach.
No, not at all.
They truly tailor their services to your specific needs.
That's right. And they're not just consultants. They're partners in your success.
Okay.
They'll connect you with key resources, help you build strategic partnerships, and even guide you on how to allocate resources effectively to maximize your growth.
It sounds like they're more than just advisors. They're like an extension of your own team dedicated to helping you achieve your vision.
Exactly. And they have a proven track record of success. They've helped businesses of all sizes in various industries achieve significant growth.
So whether you're a seasoned entrepreneur looking to scale your existing business or a startup founder with ambitious dreams, mm-hmm. Market Value Creation can provide the guidance and support you need to turn those aspirations into tangible results.
Absolutely. Their deep understanding of the California market and their commitment to individualized support make them an ideal partner for businesses looking to navigate the complexities of growth and achieve their full potential.
This has been such an insightful conversation.
It has.
We've covered so much.
Mm-hmm.
The ins and outs of acquisitions, the different ways to scale your business, and how to find the right guidance to make it all happen.
Yeah, it's been a great journey.
It's been a pleasure exploring these ideas with you.
Likewise.
And remember, no matter what stage of growth you're in,
mm-hmm.
there are always new opportunities to explore and new ways to create value.
There are always new horizons to discover.
So be bold, be strategic, and never stop learning.
And never be afraid to ask for help when you need it.
And if you're ready to embark on your own growth journey, remember that Market Value Creation is there to help you every step of the way.
They're a great resource for any business looking to grow and thrive.
Until next time, keep diving deep into the world of business.
And keep reaching for those ambitious goals.